This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to a brand spanking new edition of Rico Bronya. We have made it to the week of opening day. We have made it through a long, arduous spring training. There is one remaining game on Monday afternoon between the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. And outside of that, we have survived spring training. And I watched a little bit of Sunday's game, and my thought, and there was actually two games, one of which was on TV, the home game that they played. They also played a road game. But as I'm watching that home game on TV, and Luis Severino is dominating, and Pete Alonso is diving into first base, and Brandon Nimmo is making sliding catches in the outfield, I'm looking at the TV, and I'm saying to myself, can you just play it safe? Can you not dive into first base if you're Pete Alonso? Carlos Mendoza was being interviewed during that moment and said the same thing. Appreciate the effort, Pete. What the F are we doing? Same thing with Brandon Nimmo making diving catches. Even Luis Severino, who had such a good spring training, one of the better spring trainings we've ever seen from Sevy, because usually he doesn't stay healthy. He gets through spring training healthy. I'm knocking on wood just in case we don't hear of a report a day or two later that says he has some kind of injury. But he's pitching incredibly well. And when he came out to start the fifth inning, I'm thinking the same thing. What are we doing? Why push our luck? You know, overall, this has not been a disastrous spring training. And again, I knock on wood because you never know what kind of right before opening day surprise we're going to get. But Severino pitched incredibly well. I thought there were even positives out of Starling Marte, who's at a very, very quiet camp, but appears to be healthy. And appears to be slowly waking up. Had a couple of hits on Sunday, and that's really what you want. You want to build that positive momentum going into opening day, which will either be Thursday or Friday. I say that because I've been looking at this weather, and the weather for Thursday looks absolutely miserable. And if you remember a year ago, the opener, the home opener, got pushed back a day. So would it be crazy if it gets pushed back again? It would not be crazy. So keep an eye on that if you have tickets for the Thursday season opener. It could very well turn into a Friday season opener. And even the weather for Friday is not that great. Maybe we're getting a Saturday season opener. But it's been a very eventful couple of days. We'll touch on more on JD Martinez and the fallout from it, including a very surprising roster decision the New York Mets have made and what they may also do, because there may be more coming before we get to opening day. We'll read some of your emails and we'll listen to some of your voicemails. But let's start with the decision on Mark Vientos. I have been very consistent throughout this process over the last few months that I thought the Mets could walk and chew gum at the same time. That the Mets could simultaneously give Mark Vientos and Brett Beatty long looks, give them opportunities to play, while simultaneously signing a real DH and getting a real DH in here and improving your lineup. And I would fight with people, whether it was on the fan or right here on the Rico, that you can do both. It's not impossible. And so even when the Mets signed J.D. Martinez on our very quick instant reaction pod, I did not think it meant the end of Mark Vientos. The New York Mets made a roster decision concerning Vientos that I don't agree with. I'll be perfectly honest with you. To me, Mark Vientos should be on this team. I think he has a role even when J.D. is activated, but as you probably know, J.D. is going to spend the first 10 days in the minor leagues, which he's already agreed to. So you've got the first 10 days of the season in which you do not have a DH, and it's a great opportunity for Mark Vientos to play. You want the guy to play every day? You want him to get at-bats? First 10 games of the season, he's getting at-bats. And so I have to admit, I'm surprised. I don't know if I'd use the word shock, but I'm definitely surprised that the Mets decided Mark Vientos will not be on the roster. Now, did he have the greatest offensive spring training? No, we've talked about that. He has hit for a little bit of pop, but he's been consistent. He's swing and misses a lot. He's not had an amazing spring training, but I think he had done enough, especially in these circumstances, where he deserved a look for the first 2 weeks of the season. And I'll go a step further. Even with J.D. Martinez on this team, I think he fits this roster. How, you ask? Why, you ask? Number one, to me, I would still play Mark Vientos at third base against left-handed pitching. You know, Brett Beatty is going to get his long look. Should Brett Beatty be facing every left-handed pitcher they face? Should he face Max Fried? Not really. And for those who question that, and I've had a few say, hey, how do you let a young player, how do you develop a young player if you're not going to let him face lefties? I'm not saying I'm never going to let him face lefties. How about he first learns how to hit major league pitching on any kind of consistent basis, and then we could turn it up a notch and have him against tough lefties? I've also learned my lesson. A couple of years ago, more than a couple of years ago now, Michael Conforto had this great April. And I was screaming on the radio. Beningo was screaming on the radio. Play him every day. Have him face lefties. How else can he learn how to face lefties without facing lefties? And there was a night where he faced Madison Bumgarner, and Madison Bumgarner just did whatever he wanted to him. And Conforto had a miserable night, and it felt like that encounter with Bumgarner just turned his season on its head. And Conforto went into a massive slump, and before you know it, was back in the minor leagues. So I think with young players, yeah, you want to push them. Yeah, you want to give them a chance to succeed, but I also think there are times where you've got to protect them. So to me, Mark Vientos against left-handed pitching would be my third baseman. Number one. Number two, again, I think you are able to find at-bats for him on days where J.D. Martinez is taking an off day. A random day in which you need Vientos' bat late. Maybe Joey Wendell got a start. There's a tough lefty that comes in. Vientos gets an at-bat off the bench. I can see him getting at-bats off the bench. If DJ Stewart was on this roster, maybe it's pinch hitting for a guy like him late. Maybe it's pinch hitting for Harrison Bader late, who's not exactly going to remind you of some superstar bat. There were moments and there are opportunities for Mark Vientos to play, even when JD's here. But for the first 2 weeks of the season, when JD is not here, how can he not be here? So the decision Billy Epler, oh, Jesus. The decision that David Stearns made, you should have seen the look on Hoff's face. We got a video component coming very soon to the Rico Bronya, so you'll get to see facial reactions. Me accidentally saying Billy Epler was like a curse word to Pete Hoffman.
Dude, I thought I was going to have to bleep you out, man. I mean, you know, that's illegal on these parts.
I apologize. David Stearns said, look, Zach Short is going to make the team. And Zach Short's a guy we've talked a little bit about, but he's been on the 40-man roster. He always had this kind of outside shot looking in because of his defense and because of his versatility. And David Stern said something pretty interesting about his bat, because Zach Short does not have a bat. He has not hit major league pitching. And even when you look at his minor league offensive numbers, not a great hitter. Has never been a great hitter. But he said that they picked something up about him that they think could kind of help turn his bat around. Not that he's ever going to turn into some kind of bat-first player. He's more of a glove-first versatility kind of guy, but maybe he can be more productive than what he was last year and the year before that with Detroit. But Zach Short is here. Let's not get confused. He's here for his defense. He's here for his versatility. And I'm not minimizing that. Of course he brings that skill set. And of course there's a positive to that. But for the first 2 weeks of the season, the Mets do not have a DH. So ask yourself, who's the DH? Now, I can tell you how they may go, but David Stearns also left the door open that they may add somebody to this roster. He did not guarantee that DJ Stewart is getting that final roster spot. Because right now, the way things are constituted on their 40-man, G-Man Choi is not making the team. He's actually going to go to the minor leagues, which is pretty cool. Because if the Mets need him down the road, he's there. So their position player allotment is this. Starling Marte, Brandon Nimmo, Harrison Bader, Tyrone Taylor, DJ Stewart. That's five, but DJ's got like a little question next to him. He's not locked in. In the infield, Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, Francisco Lindor, Brett Beatty, Joey Wendell, Zach Short. That's six. Then you've got your two catchers, Francisco Alvarez, Omar Narvaez. That gets you to 13 position players and to go along with the 13 pitchers that they will eventually carry. More on that in a little bit. So those are the position players. Everybody I just named. In that grouping, assuming DJ Stewart gets through this kind of period of a few days where David Stearns is looking around and maybe adding another bat from a team that's going to try to sneak a guy back into the minor leagues, who's your DH? Here are your options, by the way. DJ Stewart is an option. Joey Wendell playing the field, whether it's third base or second base, could lead to McNeil or Beatty DHing. In fact, if you really care that much about defense, you could stick Joey Wendell or Zach Short at third base and have Brett Beatty DH. So effectively, the bat you're adding to the lineup is Joey Wendell or Zach Short. So think about that. The bat you're adding to the lineup, forget about the mechanics of who's actually DHing, because again, you could play Zach Short and have Brett Beatty DH, or play Joey Wendell and have Jeff McNeil DH, or you could play Tyrone Taylor in right field and have Starling Marte DH. The bats you're adding to this lineup, as opposed to giving Vientos a shot, are those bench pieces I just mentioned. It's Tyrone Taylor, it's DJ Stewart, it's Joey Wendell, it's Zach Short. I doubt it would be a catcher. I doubt it would be Alvarez with Narvaez catching or vice versa. I think certainly that's an option on a day game after night game, which the Mets don't have that many of over the first week of the season. So those are the options of guys that are going to DH. You wouldn't rather see Mark Vientos for 2 weeks? I would. That's just me. Hoff, I know you're not the biggest Mark Vientos guy, but knowing those are the two options as of now, of course, the Mets could add a bat that none of us see coming. More on that in a little bit. Wouldn't you have preferred Vientos to make the team so we could see him play?
It's a no-brainer. I mean, again, listen, have the kid show you something. If this rubbed him the wrong way, which, again, we saw him, the interview right after they signed J.D. Martinez, he didn't seem too happy. I know that Martinez went and talked to him the other day, but you can still see he's got a chip on his shoulder. Hey, beautiful. Show everyone that you deserve to be playing up in the big leagues. It's your opportunity. But I got to be honest with you. Zach Short, to me, was somebody from the get-go. It sounded like David Stearns was locked in on trying to make this team. He said it from the first spring training press conference. He was going down the list. Beatty, Wendell, Vientos. Oh, don't forget about Zach Short. Like, it seemed like that was already on the chart of making him make the opening day roster.
Yeah, because he's stressed defense and versatility, and Zach Short certainly brings that, or at least we're told he brings that. I mean, I haven't watched Zach Short every day to know how good defensively he is at second, short, and third base, but I know he can play the positions, and that certainly gives the Mets more defensive versatility, which I'm not against. Like, I'm not going to sit here and crap on Zach Short. He's a New York guy, grew up as a Met fan, grew up as a Jet fan, big-time Jet fan. I think he is what he is. I think he's here more for his glove, certainly, than he is his stick. And for the first few weeks of the season, they're minus a stick. They're just minus one because JD isn't here. So I'm more thinking, hey, for those 2 weeks, who gives the Mets the better chance to win? Now, once JD Martinez is added to the roster, I understand the other side who will say, Evan, your plan for Mark Vientos, not good enough. I'd rather have him in the minor leagues getting at-bats every single day. Okay, I disagree with you, but I can see it. I understand that. And if you think Zach Short over him in that kind of bench role makes more sense for the roster, especially since JD Martinez is strictly a DH, okay, fine. That's fine. But for the first 2 weeks of the season, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. I thought this would have been a great challenge to Mark Vientos. Hey, you just got humbled. Hey, you got a guy that's going to take your quote-unquote job, but you got 2 weeks to get out and perform. And I even said this on the air on Friday on WFAN. after the news broke, and I may have said it on the Rico as well, I forget. I was predicting that Vientos was going to hit the crap out of the ball, that he was going to have a good couple of weeks, that he was going to be motivated by this, that this was going to work, and it would push the Mets into a tougher spot. Hey, what do we do? Vientos is tearing it up. What do we do? And there would have been a couple of options. Look, if Brett Beatty wasn't hitting, it could have led to Vientos maybe stealing the third base job. It could have led to Vientos remaining on the roster and then you finding ways to get him at bats. But they've eliminated that. And it leads you to think that they don't think he has any future on this team, that they just don't love him. They don't like him. Maybe they never did. Maybe this entire offseason was about, yeah, we know we need a DH. We're just going to wait out the guy we want because he's asking for too much money. That the pursuit of J.D. Martinez was strictly about, we just have to wait until the money is right. And eventually, there's no doubting, looking at the contract, the money became right. But I disagree with the Mets. This is not how I would do this. Vientos would be on this roster. He would get the first couple of weeks a chance to hit and make things difficult. Because the one thing I've learned about baseball over the years is that if you hit, they're going to find a way for you. There will be a way for you to get at bats. And maybe it's difficult for us to figure it out on March 25th, because it's like, well, where, Evan? You've come up with a few. Give me other. Guys are going to get hurt. There are going to be scenarios maybe we don't see coming. And I think the Mets have sort of eliminated that, because if he goes to AAA, he goes to AAA and he struggles. I mean, basically he's dead, right? He goes to AAA and hits. It's going to be like, yeah, well, that's who he is. He's a quadruple A player. What does it prove? I thought this would have been a good opportunity for him. Now, David Stearns also said the matchups and who they're facing over the first 2 weeks may have played a role in it. So I looked ahead. I looked at Milwaukee's rotation. I looked ahead to Detroit's rotation. And it looks like over the course of those first 9 games that they play, they will face one, maybe two left-handed starters. But that, to me, shouldn't be a big impact, because this would have been the moment for Vientos to play against everybody. That's the way I would have viewed it. I'd have stuck him up there against everybody and said, here's your 2 weeks. Let's see what you got.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
But right now, Milwaukee is short Wade Miley. He's not going to be in that opening rotation. I think he's starting the year a little bit late because he just made his spring training debut, so he'll probably start on the IL. So they're not going to see Wade Miley, which they would have seen if he was healthy. But that's not a big factor to me. I still would have had him out there every single day. But the other thing, which I just mentioned, but we need to go deeper in also, is the idea that DJ Stewart is not guaranteed a roster spot. So when Stearns was pushed on that, like, okay, well, what are your other options? There are no other options. Any other option is not on the Met roster right now, which means what David Stearns is saying about DJ Stewart is, DJ, here's the deal. You're Mr. Right Now. Okay, we're going to put you in the corner. There's a chance you're on this roster because there's no one better coming along, but we think there's a chance someone better is going to come along.
And when that guy comes along, you're gone. Not you're gone. He has options. They'll send him down, but we're going to add this guy to the roster. So who is he talking about? It's so tough to figure that out because really we're talking about guys that are not going to make other teams, don't have options, and need to be snuck through waivers. That's who we're talking about. So what level of player are we talking about? Probably nothing great, but David Stearns clearly thinks that something's going to shake loose that's a better option than DJ Stewart, because that's how I take that comment. That's how I take the, yeah, he's here for right now. We'll see what that turns into. And so who knows? Maybe that guy, whoever it is, will turn out and actually get a chance to DH over the first couple of weeks of the season. With all that said, I'm pumped up for the JD signing. I know Hoff's pumped up for the JD signing. I think most of us as Met fans are pumped up that they added such a professional hitter, that they added a legitimate DH, a guy to protect Pete Alonso, which he has never had, and really transforms this Met lineup. This is a Met lineup that I was high on, but now I'm higher on, because now you've taken one question away from this offense.
And this is another reason why I really want Vientos up here, is because I think maybe this is a strategy of Vientos being down with Martinez. I think Vientos can learn a lot from JD Martinez. I think that's something that we've been heard about, is that he could be in line to be a hitting coach in the future. Eric Chavez and JD Martinez teaching Mark Vientos how to hit. I mean, that's just, if you can't hit with those two guys, then you're just never going to make it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I also, I know with some young players, so with Jet Williams, who's a top prospect, with Luis Angel Acuna, you always hear with young players, if they're not playing every day here, they should be in the minor leagues where they can. There comes a point where a player may just not be an everyday player. There comes a point where there are guys on your roster who don't play every single day. Like, we don't have that same treatment of, hey, if that guy's not playing a lot, he shouldn't be in the major leagues. Maybe Mark Vientos, and I know that he didn't get consistent playing time last year and it was frustrating, but I think a big part of why it was frustrating is because who was playing in front of him. That was the biggest problem. And we're watching Daniel Vogelbach play in front of him. Maybe Mark Vientos, A, can help the Mets more, and B, help himself more by being that part-time player. By, as you said, Hoff, learning around JD Martinez, learning by being on this roster, learning by hearing from some really good hitters. And then the opportunity may come your way and you can perform. Look, not everybody is on a major league roster to play every single day. There are plenty of guys on a roster, as you just heard when we talked about Zach Short and Joey Wendell and Omar Narvaez and Tyrone Taylor, who are there as reserves. They're there as bats off the bench. And I look at this Met lineup, even at full strength. Just think about this for a second. The Met lineup at full strength, the one that we're all putting together right now, maybe we differ on where guys hit. For me, it's Nimmo, Lindor, Alonso, JD, Francisco Alvarez, Jeff McNeil, Starling Marte, Brett Beatty, Harrison Bader. To me, the Mets have two guys in that lineup who are ripe to be pinch hit for. Two guys where it is not crazy in a certain matchup to say, I'm going to my bench. Brett Beatty against a tough lefty, in fairness, and Harrison Bader. Like, Harrison Bader is a glove-first player. I know he had that great October run for the Yankees a few years ago, but overall, he's not a great offensive player. Big spot late in the game, it is not crazy to pinch hit for him. So even though you don't have that pitcher spot anymore, so maybe the idea of that right-handed bat off the bench or left-handed bat off the bench doesn't seem as important. I think with this lineup, as good as it is, you got two spots that are primed to be pinch hit for. Right now, the Met bench doesn't have a lot of guys that you'd be so excited to have off your bench. Mark Vientos could have been that guy. So, look, long story short, I disagree. A couple of other things about the roster. It appears as of right now that G-Man Choi and Jose Iglesias will accept going to the minor leagues as veteran players. They do not. I think that's great news. Anytime you can get veteran players to say, hey, I'm going to stick around, because you never know when you're going to need them. You never know. Injuries will happen, unfortunately. So could there be a moment during this season where G-Man Choi is needed? It could happen. Could there be a moment this season where the beautiful glove of Jose Iglesias, what a glove. Oh, my God. Every time I watched the spring training game this year, it felt like Jose Iglesias did something sick defensively. Early in spring, it was at shortstop. More recently, it was at second base. Beautiful. So you never know. You never know when you may need him. So I think that's good news. We'll get to a couple of your emails. We'll listen to some of your voicemails. We have a very busy opening week. We promise you a live and new Rico pretty much every single day. We'll make specific Met predictions this week. We will do overall MLB predictions this week. We'll do Mets versus Yankees bets this week. The only thing that may throw, a monkey wrench into this whole thing is opening day. Is it going to be Thursday or is it going to be Friday? Because right now my plan is opening day is Thursday. Right after that game, big time Rico to react. If it's Friday, that may not happen because on Friday, I'll give you a little promotion. On Friday night, rain or shine, I will be joining my old partner, Joe Beningo, at the Hackensack Brewery for his big podcast event that he has once a month. It's always an honor. I'll be there. I'm bringing some books. I'm bringing some My Mets Bibles I may throw at people or at least hand out. And I will write in the My Mets Bible I hand out. I think I'm going to bring five. Maybe I have a contest or something. In it, I will sign, I love Pete Hoffman, as I hand it out. That seems pretty fair, right, Hoff?
I'm honored. I'm not sure if the person that gets the book is to be honored, but I know I am.
So that's coming up on Friday. So if there's no Rico reaction to opening day, why don't you come out to the Hackensack Brewery and you'll hear Beningo and I react to it. Even though Joe and I have very different views on the Mets. Very different views. He thinks Steve Cohen is Fred Wilpon. So, yeah. We'll have a nice discussion.
Let me just defend Joe for 1 second. Now, listen, I love Joe, and I know he's crazy. We all do. But he's so much – not I don't want to say so much older than us, but he's older than us. He's lived through so much torture and hell. We've lived through it too. But he feels it more because he's getting closer to death. We still have – hopefully a good 30, 40 more years left to go. There's a good opportunity for a World Series in 30, 40 years. In 30 to 40 years, Joe might not be around.
Yeah, but the one thing I'll differ on that is that Joe got to drink the sweet nectar of not one but two championships, and a lot of us have zero. A lot of us do not remember 86 and weren't alive for 1969. So you're right. He's seen it all. My dad has seen it all, but they've also seen the good. You know, we haven't seen the ultimate good. Let's get to some of your emails. Then we'll check out the voicemails. First, Anthony writes, platooning. Evan, I take issue with something you said. You said play Vientos at third against lefties until Beatty proves he can hit lefties. How is a guy supposed to hit lefties if he doesn't play against them? I hate the idea of platooning young guys. If they don't get the reps, they aren't going to get better at something. It's limiting a guy before he gets to prove what type of an all-around player he can be. As Beningo would say, what do you think about that? Actually, Beningo would say, how about that? How about that? I'll hang up and listen. Anthony, there are times in which I agree with your sentiment. There are. I think when a guy is hitting and is performing and in the limited chances he has against lefties, in this case against lefties, is performing, then yeah, I'm with you. Let me see more. Push it a little bit more. In this case, Brett Beatty is coming off of such a horrendous offensive season. And just take a look at his career numbers as a whole. He has not proven he can hit major league pitching consistently. So what I would try to do for him before I'm like throwing him to the wolves against every lefty is put him in positions to succeed. So far at the major league level, Brett Beatty against right-handed pitching is a .223 hitter with a .646 OPS. Not very good. Against lefties, .170 with a .452 OPS. He's been far worse. And so there are times in which your point would be something I agree with, but I think in this case, I just want him to succeed, and I'd want to put him in that position to succeed. And right now, I'm not sure if having him face literally everybody is the right way to go. I would try to have it where, hey, put him in there against pitchers he'll have more success against. I was looking at his minor league numbers, and it follows a very similar path. Like, he has not been effective against left-handed pitching. I mean, he never will be. It just means in this moment, especially when you're trying to find a way for Mark Vientos to play as well, I would platoon. But there may be a day, Anthony, where I completely agree with you. Eric LC writes, JD Martinez, I like it, but I have a fear. He's 37 this season. I like the move, but the fear is Michael Kadire, who turned 36 in 2015. I'm going to be real with you, Eric. Of course there's a risk. I can't sit here and guarantee JD Martinez is going to be a hit machine for the rest of his life because every baseball player eventually hits a wall. They all do. Hopefully that's not the case. You know, hopefully he's not turning into Michael Kadire. But when you sign a guy who's 36, turning 37 in the middle of the summer, you understand the risks that come with it. And by the way, to a different extreme, different level, I said the same thing about Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. You like the moves. You love the upside. But you understand what you're getting into. Like, you understand. We all did. Hey, you're signing a 40-year-old. There's a chance he's going to get hurt. And he got hurt. Eyes wide open. Nobody is naive about this. You know, don't get confused because I'm excited or some Met fans are excited. Sometimes people confuse that into belief that there's no way this could fail. Just because you're excited about something doesn't mean there aren't risks attached to it. There are risks. He's going to be 37 years old, but on a one-year deal with a limited amount of money being made, it's worth it. I think we could all agree with that. As far as Kadire is concerned, because I want to think back to how I felt about Michael Kadire and what were the bigger differences. I think one of the biggest differences with Michael Kadire was the skepticism of Coors Field. The fact that Kadire had three really good seasons in Colorado, like really good seasons. He's also a different hitter than JD, but nevertheless, three really good seasons in Colorado. The final year before he came to the Mets, he missed like 80% of the year. Maybe not that high, but he missed a big chunk of the season. So he was already showing kind of the injury risk. JD missed a little bit of time last year, but played 113 games. But I think with Kadire, there was always that risk that Coors Field was hiding him aging out. Speaking of which, how about JD Martinez being honest that he didn't want to go to San Francisco because of the stadium, that ballpark wasn't conducive for him, and he didn't want to, you know, hit 260, get 20 home runs, and have people look at him and say, boy, that guy's washed up. Got to appreciate the honesty of JD Martinez on that. Let's take a listen to some of your voicemails. We always appreciate the interaction. The number, of course, is 725-222-8699.
There you go.
Look at that, man.
I'm so proud of you.
One of these days, I'm going to do it without any hesitation. Let's take a listen to you.
Hey, Evan. This whole other show. After the JD signing, are they now better than the Phillies and other wildcard teams from last year? Just want to hear your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Are they better than the Phillies? Are they better than the Phillies? My gut reaction would be no, that they're not better than the Philadelphia Phillies. But then a part of me says, Evan, be fair. Like, think about the Philadelphia Phillies lineup. Is it that much better than the Met lineup? You know, JT Realmuto is only getting older. Bryce Harper, can he stay healthy for a full season? You know, Bryson Stott, Alec Bohm are okay. Trey Turner will probably have a big year with his first full year in Philadelphia. But then you think of the rest of the outfield, and it's like, all right, Nick Castellanos, Brandon Marsh, Kyle Schwarber is going to hit a lot of home runs. I think the lineups are probably closer than maybe we would think. I do think JD Martinez kind of narrows the gap when it comes to that. Their bullpen, though, to me, has major, major questions around it. Like, who's their closer? Jose Alvarado? You know, Sir Anthony Dominguez has been up and down. Gregory Soto's wild card. Jeff Hoffman's okay. Like, I think we, as a franchise, the Mets, we have a better bullpen than the Philadelphia Phillies. But I think their real advantage is in their rotation. Their rotation is significantly better. When you can have Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola just being the constants that they are at the top of your rotation, that is a huge advantage over what we have. And even Ranger Suarez and Christopher Sanchez are pretty good. They did get some bad news with Taiwan Walker, who's going to start the year, it looks like, on the IL. Had some shoulder issues. I do wish Taiwan Walker all the best. So I think when you're just thinking about them as a whole, I think the Philly lineup is still better, even if the Mets have kind of closed the gap on them. I think the Mets have a better bullpen. I think the Philly rotation is significantly better. Significantly better. But the Mets got better. And even though the Phillies are in the NL East and the Braves are in the NL East, here's the truth. Here's the bottom line, especially in terms of the expectations that I think are all of us as Met fans probably have that same goal of just make the playoffs. Just get in. You know, winning the division isn't even in our lexicon right now. It's just make the freaking playoffs. And to make the playoffs, you don't necessarily have to be better than the Phillies and the Braves, as crazy as that is. So appreciate the question, but you know what? We don't need to be better than them. You know, obviously don't lose to them 12 out of 13 times and just find a way to win more games than five of the National League. No, hold on. I'm trying to figure out the math on this. It's 15 National League teams, six make the playoffs. So you have to have a better record than nine National League teams. Is that correct? Is my math right on that now?
Yes, that is accurate. Good job.
All right. There you go. Well, thank you very much for the voicemail.
I take so much joy in the fact that Peter Hoffman's phone is probably exploding right now because the Mets just aren't JD Martinez. We got him. We got the right JD this time. I'm so happy about this. I'm just envisioning a Mets utopia this year. This is a beautiful day for me. I need it to call the Rico. I need it to buzz Peter Hoffman's phone in this moment. I hope he's just elated right now, just hearing all the buzzing. Ah, this is a day to remember.
I'm glad he got joy knowing that your phone was buzzing and there was quite a buzz. Yeah, it's a happy, happy day. It's also weird because how many times do we get to be excited about an addition in spring training? That's a rarity. You know, there have been some spring training moves in the past. There are a few that jump out at me from many, many years ago, but they're always minor in nature and they're usually trades. Very rarely are you adding a free agent in the middle of March. And to us, to a lot of Met fans, to many Met fans, the more you think about it, this may have been the most exciting offseason move they made. You know, I was pumped up about Luis Severino. Not a lot of other people were. The trade for Adrian Hauser and Tyrone Taylor didn't galvanize a nation. Sean Manaea didn't excite people. Harrison Bader didn't excite people. So I think the other thing is, for most Met fans, the move that got them most pumped up happened in late March in signing J.D. Martinez.
And think about it, last year, Mets fans were dying over when will they cut Darren Ruff. So last year was a subtraction we were praying for. This one, we got the addition.
That is very, very true.
Hey, Rico, I want to talk about the J.D. Martinez signing. I've been against it. I want the young kids to play. And I just listened to your instant reaction, and you said several times, which you said before, that this signing will not take away at bats from the young players. And I don't understand how a person can say that if they understand basic math. J.D. Martinez played 113 games last year. So that's 113 games, if he does that again this year, that he's taking away from Mark Vientos. Or maybe Mark Vientos plays third base. Let's be generous and say half the time that Beatty does. So that would be 80 games. Well, that's 33 games he's taken away from Mark Vientos. And let's be realistic, he's not going to play 80 games at third base. He's maybe going to play 30 games at third base. So that's even more games, more at-bats he's taking away from Mark Vientos. And the issue isn't that he can't get 400 at-bats somewhere over the course of the season. But we saw this last year. We've seen it in previous years. These young players don't just need a smattering of at-bats over the course of the season. They need to play day after day after day to find their rhythm. We saw this with Vientos last year. He'd get a big hit, and then he'd sit for 2 days. And that's going to happen again this year with Mark Vientos, unless a player gets injured and he gets regular playing time. And that is just no way to bring up a guy who you think has a chance to be a major league player. He needs consistent at-bats. He needs to feel like a major leaguer. He needs to get rewarded when he gets a big hit with a good run of playing time. And now with Martinez in the fold, that's not going to happen. And, yeah, I agree it gives them a better chance to make the playoffs this year. I think anyone would agree with that. But I don't think they're going deep this year, not with this pitching rotation. So I still would have rather let Vientos just take over the DH role, hit 25 bombs, have a 210 average, and then you take a better look at that position next year.
Well, clearly the Mets aren't even going to go with my plan because Vientos isn't even going to start the year in the major leagues. My biggest point wasn't he doesn't take any at-bats away from him. Of course, the basic math tells you that. It was that you can still evaluate him. He can still have a significant role on this team. And look, one really important job of a manager, and I think over the last few years, it feels like managers almost predetermine who's going to play, and a lot of them don't even believe hot streaks exist. I think that's crazy. I think the touch and feel of a manager is important. To our last caller's point, if Mark Vientos got a rare start and went 3-for-5, you got to find a way to play him the next day. I agree with you. Sometimes that's challenging. Sometimes it means sitting somebody else. But yeah, if Mark Vientos got red hot, instead of him going 3-for-5 and sitting for a week, he should be out there. But I think and thought there are ways for them to do it. Now, obviously, the Mets are not going in that direction, which makes me wonder, what is their plan for Mark Vientos? Are they just going to trade him? Even though I can't imagine his trade value is that high. Are they just waiting for potentially someone to get hurt? Are they looking at this as, hey, we can't stick with Brett Beatty all season long if he struggles. If he's struggling in the middle of May, we may just flip Beatty and Vientos. Beatty goes back to AAA. Vientos goes to the majors. I'm not sure what their plan is. All I can tell you is what my plan would have been. And what I'd been saying for weeks and weeks and months was he'd be on this major league roster and I'd find a way for him to get at-bats. Maybe not the exact same amount of at-bats, obviously, but I think and thought there were creative enough ways for Mark Vientos to be out there. Now I question what the Mets are thinking. I think what I said about Beatty may be the most realistic, that we don't know how good Brett Beatty is. You know, at what point, if he struggles this season, because he had a really tough run of it last year to the point where he was sent down and, of course, he was brought back, and this is a tough question for all of us. At what point, if Beatty is struggling, do the Mets say, we got to do something different? Whether it's starting Joey Wendell a lot more or Zach Short, or it's what I just mentioned, which is recalling a Mark Vientos if he's playing well at AAA. You got to give him time. How much is the right? You want to say 2 months? Is June 1st like that right date? What do you say? Like, how long would you let Beatty play until thinking, oh, wow. And by the way, not just Vientos. You've got other kids in the minor leagues who could end up playing a little bit of third base or moving Jeff McNeil to third base, which is the other option.
You got to give Beatty a month, right? Like, I don't think it's fair to give him 2 weeks and then all of a sudden you say, let's move on. This isn't working. You got to give him a hard, solid 30 games. And by that point in time, if he's struggling miserably and it looks like it's not about to break at all, then you make the move. But until then, I mean, listen, I'm not a Brett Beatty fan. I do not believe in him. I'm going to be honest. I think it's a waste of time. I think that he should be down in AAA, and they should be playing Joey Wendell at third base every day. I got to be honest. Like, I just don't see it. But if you're going to go this route, got to give him at least a hard month.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning towards 2 months. I think I'm leaning towards June 1st being that day of, all right, let's see what we got here. But maybe that's their plan for Vientos, because clearly he's going to go down to AAA and play third base. I think it'd be a waste if he was DHing. And Stearns even mentioned he can improve defensively. So go out there and play third base every day. And what I mean by if Beatty struggles, there are other options to play third base from the youth. It's not necessarily Luis Angel Acuña playing third base or Jet Williams playing third base. It's more them playing second base and Jeff McNeil moving to third. Jeff McNeil has played third base before. I wouldn't say it's his strongest position, but could we see a scenario later this season where he's over at third base? Sure. Brian Nolan writes this email about opening day. Big fan of the podcast, been listening to the fan for as long as I can remember, soon to be 40 years old. Happy birthday. I'm taking my son to opening day this year. I haven't been to an opening day since 1999. It was the home opener. Pitcher Bobby Jones hit a home run. I'm curious to hear your thoughts of a good timeline to get into the stadium and in the seats, ready to see the festivities, players being announced, and ready to score the game. Oh, yeah. Score that game, baby. Hopefully the weather holds up and the Mets can continue their impressive track record on opening day. Thank you. Let's go, Mets. First of all, here's the key. And I got my own issues that I'm not even going to get into. It's a first world problem. If Thursday gets rained out, what do you do Friday? Are you able to take off from work on Friday? Are you able to go if the game is Friday? That's one of the big issues when opening day gets rained out. You know, sometimes people take an off day. They can't take another off day. I think I know how that feels. So, number one, let's see if they even play on Thursday. Because every time I look at that forecast, it's like 90% chance of rain, an inch and a half of rain. Like, it's going to be an out-and-out disaster. So, I lean towards they're probably going to can it and play on Friday. But keep an eye on it. Maybe the forecast will change. I think you want to be in your seat, if you're the way I am, where you want to see everything. You want to see that reef handed out to the manager, the good look reef that they hand out, all the introductions that they have. I think you want to be in your seat by 12:15. They usually don't start till 12:30, 12:40, but you never know. It's a lot of people at Citi Field on opening day. They're confused on where to sit. You got to give yourself some extra time. So I want to be in my seat by 12:15. I'd want to be in the ballpark. I don't know how you guys feel about this, and especially for Brian, who hadn't been to an opening day since 1999. That first day back, I like to get there early, walk around, see the changes. Apparently, there are some pretty big changes at Citi Field, which I'm not sure how to feel about, but the Mets Hall of Fame doesn't exist anymore. It's spread out. So everything is still there, but like the plaques are here and this is there. I don't know how I feel about that. They turned the Hall of Fame into a bigger team store, as if the team store wasn't big enough. Maybe it wasn't big enough. I don't know. It was fine for me. What the hell do I know? So I'm intrigued to see what the Met Hall of Fame is, if it doesn't exist. You know, do they? What is it like having things all over? So for me, I like to get the early walk around, see what the hell's going on, and check out any other changes that may have been made to Citi Field. When's your last opening day you've been to, Pete?
I think last year I missed, but I was there for 2022. I was there with Stu Feiner and friends.
Look
and
at Frank that.
And Frank Fleming. And my favorite part, I got to be honest, my favorite thing was when he was booing the medical staff. It was just like, it was so heartfelt that I felt his pain.
Oh, yes. Yes. I don't think he was alone on that one. I think the medical staff hear it every once in a while. Let's listen to maybe one more voicemail. We always appreciate the interaction. Let us take a listen.
Evan and Pete, what about JD Martinez? I don't know how much this is going to help. I mean, obviously one bat, he's a great bat. We need a power hitter, but, you know, how much does that really help a team win games as far as how many games one bat will win? But what it does for me is, ultimately, it gives me more confidence in David Stearns. David Stearns was right. He was right to hold off as long as he did. He was right to wait for the money to come down. I mean, this deal is very, very low risk and extremely high reward. And even if this doesn't turn out to be anything, if JD Martinez falls flat on his face at 36 years old, is a veteran who can't hit the ball anymore, what this has done is given me more confidence in David Stearns. And I know he was great in Milwaukee, but anytime you get a guy who runs a low market team and you go, is he going to translate that to a big market team? This is the type of contract. This is the type of thing where it makes a ton of sense and you're not questioning things. And we've done that with Epler in the past, whether it was his trades at the deadline or, you know, his comment of, oh, well, the reliever market's going to be a lot bigger than, you know, than we anticipate, and then not get a good reliever, gets a crappy reliever. To me, this is a feather in the cap of David Stearns, and for me, it is a confidence booster for myself in this front office because they were 100% right. They got it right, and they hit a grand slam with this.
I think that's a great point. You know, David Stearns has a really good resume, and I think most of us were excited about the hire, but now he's got to do it for us. Now he's got to prove it to us. And this offseason, the way I've often described it is it's been disappointing. I don't think it's necessarily been as bad as some have described it, as disastrous as some have described it, but I'm not going to lie, there's a disappointment angle to it. You know, I think going into the offseason, maybe our eyes were bigger than our brains in terms of what we expected them to do. But I think for him to go out there and add something that most of us agreed they needed to add, even if it was a week and a half before the start of the season, showed that we should trust him and that he earned a little bit more of our trust. So I agree with you. I think it definitely enhances how we view David Stearns. It was a very good business move, and it improved the roster. How many games does it improve the Mets? This is why I always fight with that war stat. Because while I understand why it exists, it feels so inadequate and it feels so inaccurate. J.D. Martinez's war last year was like 1.8. There is no way in my mind that J.D. Martinez adds simply a win or two to your team. I think that's crazy. I think there are dynamics that are impossible to calculate, such as how many more fastballs does Pete Alonso get that he wouldn't get, as opposed to having Daniel Vogelbach protect him in the lineup. And then you just throw out the production. Look at all the production that J.D. Martinez can give you. So how many more wins does he give the team? Like, to me, it's probably 4 or 5 games. That's the way I feel. Like, hey, having a bat like that makes you better by about 4 or 5 games. So, and this is what I argued back in February when I was begging the Mets for a bat. And I think Sean Morash said to me, what's the point? You guys stink anyway. Well, here's my point. If you think they're a 78-win team, and 5 games are added by J.D. Martinez, now all of a sudden you're winning 83 games. Who knows? Some years that may be good enough to make the playoffs. If you think they're an 82-win team and he improves you by 4 or 5 games, all of a sudden you're an 86, 87-win team. That's significant. That matters because I think the Mets are in that mid-80s range. So every game matters. So what difference does it make? I think that makes a difference. And the risk, again, is minimal. If he's a disaster, if he stinks, if he's Michael Kadire 2.0, you wasted a few million dollars. And maybe somebody will make a bad joke in 2035 when he's owed $1.5 million in deferral money. If he has a good year and the Mets still stink, as someone brought up last Thursday, go trade him. That was one of the callers we took on Friday. Guy called in and said, you know what's great about this? If we stink, we can get a lot for him at the deadline. I'm like, I don't want to think about this right now, but obviously, it's a good point. It could turn into something that helps you at the trade deadline. And then obviously, we know what the positive is. The Mets are better. That's the key. We got a lot of pods coming up this week as we get ready for opening day. The one I'm looking most forward to, besides MLB predictions, is Mets-specific predictions. In fact, I was going through all the different over-unders that are out there specifically about Met players. Obviously, the Mets as a whole, their number right now is sitting at 81.5. So that'll be fun to go through as we pick the over and unders and predictions about what we think will happen to the 2024 New York Mets. That's all coming up this week. Plus, we'll read more of your emails to RicoB@gmail.com. And you can always leave us a voicemail. Pete always loves to hear it. The phone number, of course, is
725-222-8699.
Bang! And also, very exciting, but coming up soon, live Rico Bronyas on YouTube. And we will certainly give you a heads up when we're live, especially if it's after a game. So that's coming up this week. If you want to watch the Rico live, you'll be able to do so on YouTube. More information as it comes out. Thank you very much for listening, downloading. And if you haven't downloaded, download it, subscribe, rate, all that crap. But thank you very much for listening to Rico Bronyas.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya Podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.